Good evening. I'm Jessica Marpy, your moderator for tonight's telephone town hall. I want to welcome everyone to this live event and thank you for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Vincent Hughes of the 7th Senate District will take your calls as he discusses SEPTA and what's happening with public transportation funding in Pennsylvania. Senator Hughes will be joined by a few different leaders from SEPTA, including Chief Planning and Strategy Officer Jody Holton, Senior Budget Director Eric Johansson, and Government Affairs Director Pam McCormick. He'll also be joined by the statewide Campaign Manager for Transit for All PA, Connor Desmaker. As a reminder, if you have a question and would like to join the conversation, please press star 3. Again, press star 3 to join the conversation and ask your question tonight. And now, without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Jessica. Good evening to everybody. This is Senator Hughes. Welcome to this telephone town hall for all my constituents within the 7th Senatorial District. I'd like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their busy schedule to participate on this call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, we really do appreciate your engagement. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's conversation, press star 3 on your phone. I'm going to say it again. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's conversation, press star 3 on your phone. As Jessica said, this evening we're going to be discussing SEPTA and the mass transit funding crisis that we have in Pennsylvania. We brought, like we always do to these conversations, some really solid experts to help us answer your questions and guide us forward with respect to how we need to go in tonight's conversation with the mass transit funding crisis here in Pennsylvania. To get us started in this conversation, we've got a couple of guests here that we want to introduce and have them make some opening remarks. First, I'd like to have Pam McCormick, our Government Affairs Director for SEPTA. Pam, welcome to our telephone town hall with the constituents of the 7th Senatorial District.
Thank you so much, Senator Hughes, for inviting us to join you this evening, and good evening to everybody. I guess I just wanted to take a moment and say on behalf of SEPTA, thank you, Senator Hughes, for your leadership and your years of hard work in support of SEPTA and so many issues that are important to your constituents and to the people of Philadelphia and our region. We thank you so much for that. I think you know that these are difficult times for SEPTA and for our riders and for our employees. My colleagues that are with me here this evening can tell you a little bit more about the next steps that SEPTA is having to plan and prepare to implement. And I just want to promise you and everyone that we will continue working as hard as we can with Senator Hughes to try and build more support for transit funding in Harrisburg so we can get a solution passed and headed to the governor's desk. But thank you again, Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Pam. It's great working with you and the SEPTA team, a really strong organization, a really strong operation there. And I've got to say, to make sure the folks on the call understand, the SEPTA system is a very well-regarded system amongst other mass transit systems, not just around the state of Pennsylvania, but around the country. SEPTA ranks extremely high in a lot of different areas, in a lot of different categories, and we need to make sure that folks understand its significance, its importance, and not just to the folks in this region, Philadelphia and the other four counties, but that SEPTA impacts other constituencies and other communities all across the Commonwealth. In fact, around the country. I had a conversation with the governor of Delaware about a month ago, and he reminded me, he said, Senator, you know, a lot of folks that work in northern Delaware, they utilize the SEPTA system. They come out of the SEPTA region utilizing the SEPTA system, come down to northern Delaware to work and apply their skills and their craft. And that is significant. And may get into this during the course of the conversation, except to buy goods and services from all over Pennsylvania. Just about every county in Pennsylvania, except that is spending some kind of dollar utilizing those goods and services that apply here in the southeastern Pennsylvania. And the last thing I'll say before we welcome our next guest for the call, you know, southeastern Pennsylvania represents about 42% of the state's overall economy. We contribute a lot in these five counties in southeastern Pennsylvania to the total economy of Pennsylvania. If we're crippled by not having a highly functioning mass transit system, it's not just crippling us, it's crippling the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And we have been reminding folks of that repeatedly. We're going to continue to remind folks of that. And hopefully in the next week or two, we get this thing resolved, along with everything else we've got to resolve with the state budget. So that's my short comment. I'd like to now welcome the Chief Planning and Strategy Officer for SEPTA. That's Jody Holson. Jody, welcome to our telephone town hall with the great constituents of the 7th Senatorial District.
Thank you so much for having me. I wish I could be here under different circumstances, but we've had a very trying couple months at SEPTA. We passed a budget that forces us to reduce service. Without that state funding that the senator was talking about, we are forced to cut service by up to 45% over the course of this year. And we have to increase fares by 21.5% starting September 1st. Without additional funding, the service cuts would begin August 24th, and we have only just a few short weeks until that schedule goes into effect. Our schedules are timed with the School District of Philadelphia because we provide transportation for over 50,000 students throughout the Philadelphia School District. So I just want to tell you a little bit about what's in the first schedule reduction. So we've been preparing two sets of schedules. They're very, very different. The first schedule and the schedule that we want to run is the current service. And we hope that if we have funding, we'll be able to put that schedule into effect. If we don't receive funding within the next week or so, we're going to have to go to first that 20% service reduction. That reduction includes 32 bus routes being eliminated, 16 bus routes would be shortened, and 88 remaining routes, almost the entire rest of the system, would have a 20% reduction in service. You know, that means today, if you wait 15 minutes for a bus, you would have to wait about 20 minutes for a bus to come in the future. We looked at a number of different factors when we chose what to cut from the system. Obviously, again, not something we wanted to do, but we had to cut evenly. So we tried to cut routes that had very low ridership. There aren't that many of them, though, so we had to move on to routes that there's duplicative service or there's service alternatives nearby. But it might mean that someone has to transfer. If you're taking a bus route today and we eliminated it, you might have to transfer between two routes to get to the same place that you're going. We've been talking with the school district a lot about students and others. Everyone will have to plan ahead. If you're used to taking transit every day, you'll want to give yourself more time. We'll have the new schedule online by August 8th. But there's still time, we hope, to reverse this course. So I'm happy to answer any questions later on about specific route changes or anything that you have questions about. You'll start to see those bus route elimination signage being installed throughout our neighborhoods. Where we had to eliminate a bus route, we're putting up signs at the stop to make sure people are aware, to give them a lot of notice in case we do have to enact the service cuts. Like I said before, the schedules would be released in the first week of August, just next week at the end of the week. And we intend, as we get closer to the date, to have ambassadors stationed throughout the system to help build awareness for our customers and educate them on the changes. If we don't have funding through the fall into the winter, we will have to advance that additional 25% service cut. And that's where we start to cut or eliminate regional rail routes, the Broadridge Spur, and put that 9 p.m. curfew on the metro and the regional rail service. All right. Well, I think I covered most of the service reductions. Again, that's not something that SEPTA wants to do, and I believe there's still time. We're waiting. We're positive and optimistic about the discussions that continue in Harrisburg.
Thank you, Jody, and I want to, it's good information, Jody, and what I want to make sure that people understand that these are proposed reductions that could go into effect in the next couple of weeks if the funding crisis is not solved at the state level. These are not service reductions that are going to happen tomorrow, but they could happen in the next couple of weeks if we don't fix the funding crisis in Harrisburg. I want to underscore that. SEPTA is by law supposed to make sure that there's significant notice so that folks can make adjustments in case reductions go into effect. But we're hoping that these service reductions don't go into effect, but the only way we can prevent them from going into effect is if we fix the funding crisis in Harrisburg. And I want to make sure that folks understand the governor offered up a proposal. That proposal has been voted on 4 different occasions by the House and passed by the House with strong support from the House Democratic Caucus, unanimous support from the House Democratic Caucus, and is waiting for action in the Senate. Then the Senate has 23 Democratic senators who are in full support and would vote for the House proposal, but it has not come up for a vote in the Senate as of yet. And we said, we got to vote it. We're ready to vote it. We don't want to see these service reductions go into effect. But we don't control when the vote comes up in the Senate. Because we're not in a majority. The Democrats are not in a majority. But what we do know is that there's 23 Democratic senators, all of us, the entire Senate Democratic Caucus, are in support of what the governor's proposal is and what the House has passed. So it's important that point be made so that everybody has a clearer understanding of where the current circumstance is. I'd like to bring on now Eric Johansson. Eric is the Senior Budget Director for SEPTA. Eric, if you could provide a minute and a half or so of what you see as the financial picture for SEPTA.
Yeah, thanks, Senator. And I guess I won't go into too much detail, but I just wanted to give everyone a sense of why we got here, because we get that question asked a lot. And essentially what we're dealing with is the fact that the money that we received from the federal government for COVID relief during the time where we had significantly lower ridership has run out before our ridership has fully returned, which has left about 15% of our budget unfunded. We used to fund about 36% of our budget as fares, and now that's down to 21%. And so that gap was filled by federal COVID relief, and that federal COVID relief is gone. And those bills that the senator talked about would essentially fill that gap for us and allow us to keep running the same amount of service as we are today. And I also just want to give everyone comfort and knowledge to know that we are doing absolutely everything we can internally to tighten our belts as much as possible. We've saved $35 million over the last 12 months with an austerity program. We have a selective hiring freeze. We have a management pay freeze. We've cut a bunch of consultants and contract services. We're doing everything we can to tighten our belts, but the gap is about $200 million, and that's just simply too big to cut through austerity alone. So I just wanted you all to know that. I also wanted you to know that we're doing everything we can to continue to improve the customer experience. We've seen significant increases in our customer satisfaction survey scores over the last couple years. We've got 50 consecutive months now of year-over-year ridership growth. It's not back to 100% of what it was before COVID, but 50 consecutive months is not nothing. And we've significantly increased our efforts in safety and security on the system, and we've seen a dramatic reduction in both the incidence of crime on the system and the incidence of complaints about unsafe situations on the system from our customers. So we think we're making a lot of progress. We think we're tightening our belts, but the money's run out. And so we really do need that operating assistance from the state that the senator was talking about.
Thank you, Eric. Really appreciate those numbers. A nice financial overview from you and the folks on the SEPTA team. Lastly, I'd like to bring on the statewide campaign manager for the Transit for All PA. That's Connor Deshmaker. Connor has been organizing folks and getting the message out to folks, and really has become a great vehicle for really organizing neighborhoods and organizations, neighborhood-based organizations and community folks to make sure that their voice is heard in this conversation. These are the riders. These are the people who utilize the system. These are the people that employ folks who utilize the SEPTA system. And their voice needs to be heard. And Connor has done a great job getting folks up, organized, and engaged in this fight. Connor, the microphone is yours, but rather the telephone is yours right now. Talk to the people, Connor.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Senator. It's a pleasure to be here. That's the thing that we want to underscore, is that it's not too late. I'll tell you, just literally an hour before this call started, we relaunched our campaign, you know, because we need to put the pressure on. And I'll tell you, this is not something that I'm saying as a partisan issue, but as a this is literally the fault of Senate Republican leadership, and we need to put the pressure on them because this issue affects us all, whether you yourself ride transit every day or your grandmother relies on it to get to healthcare appointments. And it's important to also realize that transit is something that exists in all 57 counties in Pennsylvania. This is not something that just us folks who live in the densest parts of Philly depend on, or commuters coming from the suburbs into the city or vice versa. Even in our most rural places, people are using shared ride and paratransit to do essential travel. And in suburban areas, we see folks using transit to get to their jobs. So, we're here to plug y'all in. We're here to show you that it's not too late. You can organize with your neighbors. We have letter campaigns online. We've got phone banking opportunities. There's canvassing opportunities all over Philadelphia that are happening through local partner organizations. There are so many ways to join us and ensure that we work together to not just stop the cuts, but actually build a better system and get our state government to invest in ways that restore and expand service over time. Because, we're trying to avert crisis in this moment, but that doesn't mean that our work together organizing is over.
Connor, I'm gonna get you if you don't put your website out there, sir. How do people get a hold of you?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Sorry. So it's a little odd on the phone only. So transitforallpa.org. And again, so transit spelled out, F-O-R, all, PA.org. And there's a take action page there that, again, is freshly updated just today. And that's where you can take all of those actions. You can read a calendar. You can sign your name, and it'll send letters to legislators. You can read a phone script. You can download graphics. You can do all of that at transitforallpa.org.
And this is a way to utilize that website to get engaged, to get involved, to volunteer, or, as I understand it, Connor, to take information off of that website and then folks, if they want to repost it or send it around to folks. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, Senator. We've got, you know, graphics that you can download. We've got stuff you can print out and post at your bus stop that says, it's not too late to stop this bus from getting cut, because I know that y'all are already seeing those red signs that say this route is being discontinued or this route's frequency is being changed. But we're posting those flyers, and we need your help to make sure they reach every single bus stop that has those notices up. And you can find all that on our website.
TransitForAllPA.org. TransitForAllPA.org. That is the website you can go to if you want to participate in that, not just the saving of mass transit, and in this case, the SEPTA system, but, you know, the important conversation that also needs to be had in terms of how we can grow it and how we can expand it, and how crucial it is, and how a thriving transit system is helpful for everybody in Pennsylvania. All right, folks, we're going to open up the lines now. Press *3 if you want to get into the conversation and ask a question. Press *3. I'm going to say that one more time. Press *3 if you want to ask a question of any one of these very talented experts that we have on our call this evening. All right, Jessica, who's up first?
First, we have Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you are live.
Hello.
Hey, Jeffrey, how you doing?
Hey, fine. How are you, sir?
It's your turn, sir. What you got for us?
My question is, if the state do what they have to do concerning this budget, what are we looking at the next time when it has to be done? Is this something that's going to be concurrent, or they have to go to the table every time?
All right, I'm going to ask Eric, and he's the senior budget director for SEPTA, to answer that question. Eric, if we pass in the Senate, if the Senate Republicans allow us to vote in the Senate of Pennsylvania, pass what has passed the House on 4 different occasions, which is, I believe, the governor's proposal, how long will this impact? When will we have to come back for additional resources, or how long will this impact?
So I'm going to give the caveat that some of it depends on the future growth of sales tax revenues, which is the basis of the funding proposal. But if you assume that sales tax revenues continue to grow at the pace that our expenses grow, we project that this is at least a 5 to 6 year solution. And I say that at least 5 to 6 years, because it really buys us time to continue to do the austerity and the belt tightening and the revenue growth and the ridership incentives that we've been talking about.
So this would be a good 5 or 6 years, over half a decade, that we would expect growth for transit. And we would not necessarily have to come back to the table to ask for more resources. And I want to be clear, this is what the governor proposed, is not a tax increase. It is not a tax increase. It is not more money coming out of your pocket. What the governor has proposed is increasing what is already being spent and adding more dollars to it from essentially a tax. Yes. Okay? So it is not a tax increase. You will not have to pay more out of your pocket for these dollars coming to mass transit across Pennsylvania and, most importantly, into the SEPTA system. That's a good question. Thank you, Eric, for that response. Jessica, who's next?
Wait, actually, Senator, can I add something really quickly? This is Connor.
Sure, is that Connor?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just a little quick add to that question. That's part of what I can say as an advocate is that we'd love to not have to come back in 5 years. We'd love a permanent solution for everybody. And that's part of what you'll find on our website is that we've got some solutions for dedicated funding that'll last a whole heck of a lot longer and do more than just stop cuts. It'll actually mean potential for service restoration and growth, because we know that we've lost service even in just the last 5 years.
That's true. That's an important point. Thank you, Connor, for that. So make sure, folks, you go to the Transit for All PA website, transitforallpa.org. That's the website where you can get engaged, get involved, find out more information about the fight. All right, Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Geraldine. Geraldine, you are live.
Good evening, Senator Hughes.
What's up, Geraldine? How you doing, sis?
I'm hanging in there best I can.
Don't let go. Don't let go.
What I wanted to know is how is this going to affect senior riding, the increase? Or
Jody, what do you see for that?
Right, that's a great question. Of course, senior rides are free if you have a senior fare card. So the fare increase won't affect that. Paratransit and senior shared rides will continue. However, there will be a reduction in some of the service areas that are eligible for rides. Where we have eliminated bus routes, there will be some gaps in the areas where you are eligible to get our access transit service. So definitely look at the website and check. I'm familiar with Senator Hughes's district area. There aren't any locations within the Senator's district that would have that reduced area of coverage. So senior rides are about the same. There will be a fare increase for paratransit rides. They would go from $4.25 today to $5.75 under the proposed fare increase that would take effect on September 1st.
So the real issue in many respects is the reduction in services for seniors. That sounds like the real thing that seniors would have to confront. Am I right, Jody?
Yes. I mean, when you look at the numbers of routes that we're eliminating, it might mean that you have to walk to a different bus route in your district. There are 8 routes that are being eliminated or proposed to be eliminated, and there are 9 that are being proposed to be shortened. So if you're used to taking one bus, you might have to transfer to another bus that might be added walking and added wait time, which is definitely less comfortable for seniors in some cases.
Absolutely. 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 And harder and longer to get to medical appointments or, you know, other appointments that you have to take care of. Thank you very much, Ms. Jeremy. Take care now. Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Norton from Overbrook. Norton, you are live.
What's up, Norton?
My name is Milton.
Milton, all right.
Yeah, my question is, Senator Hughes, I know the governor is for funding for SAPTEC, so is the state house. But you know the Republicans, especially from the middle part of the state, don't like Philadelphia, right? You're the senator in Harrisburg. From what you gather, are they close to either getting a deal or are they just going to leave it high and dry?
So I'm going to, it was interesting. You say they don't like Philadelphia, but they sure come to Philadelphia pretty often to utilize the wonderful services that we have in Philadelphia. To go to the games, to go to the concerts, to go to the arts and cultural activities, to utilize the healthcare facilities. We got some of the best medical facilities in the world here in Philadelphia and throughout southeastern Pennsylvania. So On one hand, they may not like it, but on the other hand, they sure do utilize the services here in this region. And I want to make sure that we don't let folks off the hook when it comes to that. You wanna pick from the fruit from the tree, but you gotta put some water in the tree to make sure that tree is still growing. How close are we to a deal? I'm gonna try to remain optimistic here. There have been conversations, they're going far slower than what they need to go. But I'm going to remain optimistic. What I know is this. There are 23 Democratic senators ready, waiting, and prepared with minimal notice to vote yes for the package that passed out of the House, and which is what the governor has proposed. Allegedly, there are Republican senators who would support it as well. So they need to get their leadership to put the vote up and put the vote on the table so that we can vote for it. So what you need to do is if you want to get engaged more in the fight, this is where you reach out to Connor's organization, transitforallpa.org, and get involved in that fight. And transitforallpa.org is an excellent website. It has lots of information. It's a great vehicle for folks to get involved in this fight. So that's what I'm going to say to that one, Milton. Jessica, who's next on the question?
Next, we have Carolyn, who actually has a question about the Transit for All website. Carolyn, you are live.
Hello. I'm from West Philadelphia. 44.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, Senator. I don't know what the nickname of my area is, but it's 44th and Stanford Valley.
There you
now,
go.
My question on the Transit for All website, will there be a full list of House and Senate members for contact purposes? And is there a script on the website that we can use to, engage in begging our Congress people to support our bill, support the bill? And I'm a Democrat.
Connor, what do you have to say to Carolyn?
Yeah. So Carolyn, that's we've made it as easy as possible for you. So if you click take action on our website, there is a pre-made web form where all you need to do is enter your name and address, and we automatically match you to your legislators, and you can customize a message that'll go directly to their inboxes, their email inboxes. And with that, it not only is going to go to your Pennsylvania House and Senate legislators, it will also send a copy of your email to the leadership of the Pennsylvania House and Senate so that they know that people are fed up, because when you're a leader, you take on a greater responsibility than just to your constituents. Yes, you're serving your constituents, but you serve the full Commonwealth, as I know Senator Hughes understands as the Appropriations Chair. So you're getting emails, from not just folks in your district, Senator, I know, but from all across Pennsylvania.
And one of the questions Carolyn asked Connor was, Is there a way, because her senator, me, all right, is already in support of this effort. Is there a way to get to the senators and state reps, in this case, on the Senate side, at least three Republican senators? Is there a way to get directed to those individuals so they can communicate with those individuals?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, it not only sends a letter to your senators, but it sends to leadership of both the Republican and Democratic side. And we have a separate link that's on that Take Action page. If you just scroll a little further down, you can click to our toolkit. And on that toolkit, there's a phone script where you can find the phone numbers and that sort of thing for specific senators, any specific senator or representative that you want help finding and talking to.
There you go. Thanks, Connor. Thanks, Carolyn. Appreciate you for over there, 44th and Fairmount. All right. Jessica, who's next? And again, folks, press star 3. Press star 3 if you have a question. Jessica, who's next?
Next, we have Denise from West Philly. Denise, you're live.
Hi. Good evening, Senator, and everyone.
Hey, Denise.
Hi. I'm concerned about, as we all know, school is about to start. Thousands of students rely on SEPTA for transit back and forth mm-hmm. to school. Is there mm-hmm. a viable contingency plan to address that? That need to make sure that these students can get back and forth. And I do have another question. What about the subsidy for offsetting the cost of transportation to students? Has that increased?
I'm going to ask Jody to answer that question. Jody is the Chief Planning and Strategy Officer for SEPTA. What do you have for those questions, Jody?
Yeah, well, we've been in conversation with the school district. We've been having a series of calls with them and all the principals and leadership within all of the individual schools throughout the city. As they start communicating with parents at the start of the school season and to students themselves, you know, the advice is to get on to the website at SEPTA and plan your trip. Look at you know, the bus routes you'll have to take. You might have made a plan about a year ago or 6 months ago or whatever you did last year. You're going to have to look at the transit network now and make sure that you have a way to get there. We're advising that everybody should take extra time. Really expect your trip to take at least 20% longer. You know, so when we expect the L and the B line with the reduction in service, on those lines, but we might experience crowding on the bus lines as well. You might be passed up, so make sure you allow for that time and think through the transfer locations that you have. So we've talked with them. There are a few bus routes that are called 400 series. There are about 6 of them that we have to eliminate because they follow the same path as some of the bus routes that we're eliminating. The school district is determining what they might be able to do about that, about those routes in particular. But really we expect the school district to start reaching out to parents and students very soon. And with regard to the subsidy for the student passes, that remains. The students still have their passes. They go into effect at the beginning of the year. And they, for the school year, that is, and they allow for the students to travel, I think, until maybe from 6 a.m. to 8:30 or maybe it's to 8 o'clock at night. I'm not sure. I'd have to double check that. But they were extended a couple of years ago to accommodate students that have afternoon and evening activities.
Thank you, Jody. And we're pushing out Connor's website, transitforallpa.org, but I also think we should push out the SEPTA website, SEPTA.org. SEPTA.org. There's a lot of good information on that website as well. Connor's website allows for civic engagement. SEPTA's website has some of that as well, also has a lot of great information. And we appreciate the folks at SEPTA, and of course, Connor, we appreciate you and your organization for putting together some good information for folks to get information, but also to find out how they can get involved. Jessica, who's next on our call?
Next, we have Sandra from West Philadelphia. Sandra, you're live.
Okay.
Hey, Sandra, how are you?
Hi, I'm
We can hear you, Sandra. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for everyone, coming on the line and sharing all of this great information.
So my question is, hopefully I remember when I told it to Jessica, but it has to do with the deficit that we had to actually, you know, put SEPTA in this position. So my question is, I believe it was 16%. That's where the, I believe it was 16 or 20% where there's the deficit. And my question is, out of that percentage or out of the deficit, what percentage is associated with the riders who do not pay? Is it a small percentage? Is it, you know, the 10%, 50% of that? Just out of curiosity. And if it is a large amount, then what are we doing or what is SEPTA doing or the city doing in order to help to increase payments, you know, people, you know, paying for their rides? Because I see it a lot. People just don't pay.
And that's
money that we're missing out.
Absolutely. We need to get it. Everybody should pay. Who can and is able to pay, they should pay. And I've seen some recent accounts, and we've had some reports from SEPTA around the issue of fare evasion and what's being done in that space. Eric, would that be you or would that be Jody to respond to that, to Sandra's question?
Yeah, that would be me. I just want to say that's a terrific question. Just to level set again, the deficit is $213 million. And we project that we lose about $50 million a year from fare evasion. It's hard to know exactly for sure. We've done a lot of data analysis to try to figure it out. But I want to be clear that, you know, there's always been some degree of fare evasion. We think it's gone up quite a bit since COVID, you know, it. And we are doing a lot of different things to try to, you know, to bring it down within reason. We've started installing these taller fare gates at certain stations like 69th Street, which is cut fare evasion by more than half. It's much harder to, you know, jump over the turnstile with these taller gates, for example. We're going to be installing those at 10 more stations around the system where we see data that shows that there's been high fare evasion counts. You know, we also have increased the number of police officers that we have on our system, which really isn't just a fare evasion thing. It's also a safety and security thing to, you know, increase the feelings and perceptions of being safe and secure on the system. But they are also writing more citations for fare evasion than they have in recent years. And so we think that's helping as well. So we think the combination of a higher number of police officers in our system monitoring and these new gates will help us reduce that $50 million to a number that's lower. I do want to be clear, though, that we don't necessarily see that as the solution to the funding deficit. If you could make the $50 million, $40 or even $30 million, that would definitely help. But $213 million is a much larger gap to fill.
That's very good. Very good point. That's good information. Thank you, Eric. Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Chris from Mount Airy. Chris, you're live.
Hi, how you doing, Senator Hughes?
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. I was just listening to what was being said, and it seems as though it was said the COVID money that the federal government has sent out is now gone thin, and now that they had a regular budget. Why is their regular budget not sufficient now? And they're still looking for the same money that they was getting, which was a federal grant so that the people could ride for free or at a lesser rate. Is they still looking for that exact same money? Because COVID is over.
COVID is over. Eric, I'm going to try to start off answering Chris's question. And thank you, Chris, for your question and for staying on the line for as long as you have to ask the question. So ridership, before COVID, ridership was at a certain level. and then COVID hit, and then ridership dropped. We all know that, you know, the whole idea of, you know, staying home to protect ourselves from the very significant healthcare crisis that we were dealing with COVID. And then as that was happening, this whole movement to remote working has really become a new, very significant part of our lives because of, you know, Zoom capabilities and Teams capabilities and virtual capabilities on various platforms. And so as I understand it, the amount from the fare box has dropped from 36% down to 21%. The federal government and the COVID relief efforts were kind of kicking in to mitigate that drop. Well, those dollars have run out. And, you know, we've got to figure out how to go forward to make up for that. Eric, do I have it correctly? Am I saying it correctly, sir?
Senator, that was excellent. I just want to add two things though. One, SEPTA never stopped running during COVID. We kept running, we kept the system going, and we did that in part because the federal COVID relief was available, and two, because it was the right thing to do. And there were a lot of essential workers that needed to move about the system that didn't have the luxury of working from home. And so that cost money, and we didn't have as much revenue coming in to cover it. But the other thing I just wanted to say, and because this becomes a really important point, there's a talking point out there for a lot of people that, well, if your ridership is at 80% of pre-COVID, why don't you just make your service 80% of pre-COVID? But that's not really how it works, because even if you're riding 4 days a week instead of five, you still need us when you need us. And if you're just a person riding SEPTA 4 days a week instead of five, that could entirely be the reason why our ridership is 80%. We could still have the same number of riders, but 80% of ridership. So the economics of transit have really changed, but we can't really reduce service on the basis of that because people still need us when they need us.
Thank you, Eric. That's a great question to a very good – that's a great response to a very good question that was asked. Jessica, we're getting down to the last several minutes of our conversation this evening. It's been very good. We're not going to close here, but I always want to make sure we're thanking our guests for joining us. Pam, who was on the line earlier, Jody, and Eric from SEPTA, Connor from Transit for All PA. And I'm going to put those websites out there, SEPTA.org, and of course, TransitForAllPA.org as well. Jessica, who are, let's take some more calls here before we run out of time. Who's next, Jessica?
Before we go to an individual, we actually have a few questions in the queue about the senior free ride program. And I know that was mentioned earlier, but if we could just circle back on that, I think that would answer a few of the questions we have here.
What do we have?
People are wondering if the senior free ride program is going to be affected by these cuts.
Okay, Jody?
Yeah. No, the senior free ride program will remain in effect. The senior free ride program is through the lottery fund, so it's funded separately through the lottery, so not affected by this. And I don't know if Eric has more on that to discuss.
No, it's a separate funding program. The service would be diminished, but the rides would still be free.
That's right. That is funded by the lottery. So if you're going to gamble, play the lottery, okay? If you're going to do that, play the lottery. That's a very good resource that we get from the lottery system to pay for free rides for senior citizens. All right, Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Karen from Overbrook. Karen, you're live.
Hi, I just want to give kudos to Hi, Senator Hughes. I just want to give kudos to SEPTA. I take the L and I park at 69th Street and I catch the L Monday through Friday, and I do see the young police men and women, and they make me feel safe. And also, it's cleaner and the ride is pleasant. And I do see the decrease of the fair jumpers. So I just want to get kudos. I really see the change, and like I said, I'm riding it Monday through Friday to work.
That's great. That's great response. That's a great response. Thank you, Karen, for letting us know that you're observing the improvements in the system as Steph has always been diligent, but even more so in trying to respond to some of these issues. But thank you very much. Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Bonnie. Bonnie, you are live.
Good evening, Senator. Good evening, Joe.
Bonnie, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for joining the conversation. What you got?
I just have a question. A couple of my questions have already been asked, but I do have a question in reference to the funding not being approved. How is that going to affect the SEPTA employees?
Jody, what happens to SEPTA workers if these reductions in services and potential fare increases go into effect? What is that going to happen to the workforce? Is there projected employee loss?
Yeah, so today we were out at one of our depots where the bus operators report out in at 69th Street, our Victory District, and the operators were doing that. They were picking their shifts essentially for the next for the schedule change, and they had two choices. They could pick work from the full service schedule, and they could pick work from the 20% reduced schedule. So that they're prepared if we go into this service reduction plan. And talking to the operators, they're concerned. There's not as much work, obviously, in the reduced service plan. So initially, right now, it'll just mean less work for them. They'll still have their 40 hours a week. But if we really don't have funding by the end of August, moving into September, we need to freeze our hiring, which would mean, it's very hard to hire people, I think, as everybody's aware. So it means that we would have to start reducing our workforce. And so the first step to that is to stop hiring people. And then if we had to enact the next level of service cuts, which is cumulatively together, it is a 45% service reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And you really
mm-hmm.
can't or don't need the same number of operators if that goes into effect. So there will be some sort of reduction in force that is needed later on this year. But for right now, it would start with a hiring freeze sometime in September.
Jody, how many folks work for the SEPTA system?
We have over 9,000 employees.
So it's 9,000 employees work for the SEPTA system, and if they're major contributors to, obviously, their household economy, but also major contributors to the regional and the state economy as well. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's a living wage. It's a good job. It's a career. We have people that have stayed with us their entire career. We have families that, have different members that work at SEPTA. It's a very large employer. We're in the top, I might say about top 20 or so employers. Like, we are a large employer in the region.
And many respects, and I've said this before, and I want to make sure the callers really understand this. Many, a SEPTA job is really a dream job, all right? It really is a job that helps to protect the environment because, if reductions in service start to go in place, more people will get in their cars and drive to work. Or drive to wherever they have to go. And that is not good for the climate. That is not good, for the climate. So these are policy issues that just don't affect how people get from one place to the other. These are policy issues that we're dealing with that really impact the economy of the broader region, but also the environmental impact, the climate issue that we're all confronting with. So I want to make sure that folks see this from a number of different vantage points. We've had this conversation publicly. We've had this conversation internally with folks at SEPTA. They see that. They understand that. And we want to make sure that the broader public understands that as well as they make their arguments for supporting and expanding mass transportation, which is what Connor's main effort is all about. Let me go through the list here and just thank all our guests for their participation. The Chief Planning and Strategy Officer for SEPTA is Jody Holton. Thank you, Jody, for joining us this evening. Pam McCormick is our Government Affairs Director. She was on with us earlier in the conversation. Thank you, Pam, for joining us. And Eric Johansson is the Senior Budget Director for SEPTA. Thank you, Eric, for joining us. Connor Dishmaker, thank you so much for being part of the conversation. Connor is, as we call it, Connor, the big boss with the hot sauce. He's the statewide campaign manager for Transit for All PA. We're asking folks who want to get involved in the fight to save mass transit, not just here in southeastern Pennsylvania, but wind up saving it for the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. TransitForAllPA.org is the website. TransitForAllPA.org is the website. You can go there and find an excellent amount of good information about how to get engaged in the fight. And we're, since your senator is already very supportive of the SEPTA system and mass transit in general, we're asking folks to go to the website and utilize the information on the website to really impact those other senators who are not as supportive. Reminder, all 23 Democratic senators in Pennsylvania support the governor's proposal and support the proposal that passed the House of Representatives on four different occasions. We all support it. We need that Senate Republicans to bring it up for a vote, and those Republican senators who control the calendar, they need to move the needle on this issue and put this bill up for a vote and get us the resources that we need for our system. It's been a great conversation. I'd like to thank once again our guests for joining us this evening. Thank you for participating in our telephone town hall conversation. To those who listened in, thank you so much. To those who asked questions, thank you even more. And to those who gave us some suggestions, we really appreciate hearing your ideas. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, stay on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777, or just simply visit my website at senatorhughes.com. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. Take care. Get in the fight. TransitForAllPA.org. Thank you.
Thank you.